Glad that you are here with us this morning. We appreciate the way you've entered into the worship service, and we certainly invite each of you back anytime you have the opportunity to be with us. But I would say we extend our welcome to you this morning and encourage you to come back. There are a lot of things that are going on among the group here that bring a lot of joy to us. We're excited with Don and Darlene and their family at the birth of their new daughter, and Trick and Dave are back, and just a lot of good things that are going on. And certainly we're all excited by those things. I encourage you to turn with me this morning to Matthew chapter 10. We're going to spend a good bit of our time studying from this chapter this morning. If we look at Matthew chapter 10, we see where Jesus has selected his apostles. And they have been with him now for some period of time. It's not an extended period of time at this point, but they have now made a commitment to him and he to them. And they have seen a number of miracles, and they've seen his power and the things that he is able to accomplish by the hand of God as he is now walking on the earth. And now he is instructing his apostles. And it's interesting to me, in just about any situation, to look at Jesus' relationship with his apostles. They were a specially selected group of men who were to take his word and were to spread it throughout all of the world. And it's interesting to me, as we look at them and we begin to see now what he tells them, keep in mind, and I want to touch on this as we move towards the end of our lesson in a little more detail, he's talking to a group of guys who are fairly new in their relationship with him. But yet he's giving them their instructions as he sends them forth to go out into the world to spread his word. And so as we think about this, what I want to do this morning is look at the instructions that he gave them. I want to look at the things that he told them. Some of them are instructions, some of them are more just statements of fact about this is what you need to be doing, or this is what is going to happen. But I want you to consider those instructions, and then as we move towards the end of the lesson this morning, we're going to make some application to us as we consider the lives that we live. The first thing Jesus tells them in Matthew chapter 10 is he says, don't you worry about money. He says, I'm sending you forth, and you're going to go, and you're going to be teaching, but don't you worry about money. Look with me beginning in verse 5 of Matthew chapter 10. It says, these 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Look at verse 9. Provide neither gold, nor silver, nor copper in your money belts, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staff, for a worker is worthy of his food. Now whatever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and stay there till you go out. And when you go into a household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Surely I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. The first thing Jesus says is, you're going to go out, and you're going to be performing miracles and doing these various things and preaching that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He says, but don't worry about taking really anything with you. In regards to money, he said, don't take gold, don't take silver, don't take any kind of a bag. In regards to clothing, he said, don't even take two tunics. It's basically the idea being presented. You just sort of take the clothes on your back and go forth from here and do the things that I've instructed you. In regards to food, he said, don't worry about food. He said, the laborer is worthy of his hire. It's the idea that as you go, you'll be earning your way in regards to the things that you will need from a physical standpoint. He said, in regards to shelter, when you come into a city, just ask who's worthy and go to them and ask them if you can stay with them and go into that house. If they're worthy, great. If not, shake the dust off your feet and move on. It's interesting to me to listen to these instructions given by Jesus Christ. You listen to that and you say, now why would Jesus send out these 12 guys with nothing? Why would he send out 12 guys with nothing really but the clothes on their back and a staff and just say, here, go, there you are. I would suggest to you that what Jesus is demanding of his apostles at this point is that they safely trust in him to provide for them the things that they needed in whatever situation they found themselves. And so as they went forth, it wasn't with a bag strapped on their back carrying food and extra clothes and maybe a tent or whatever they needed. It wasn't with that at all. They just went. And the idea was, is as you go, I will provide for you. Don't you worry about the things that you're going to need. Because from a physical standpoint,
You're not going to have to worry about it. Jesus is teaching the apostles, I think, at this point, or demanding of the apostles, rather, and they're going to learn the lesson as they go from here. But he's demanding of the apostles that they be willing to place their faith in him and their trust in him and depend on him for all of the things that they are going to need as they go forth. And now that they are ready to go, it's a lesson that they were going to have to learn. The second thing he instructs them in is he says, you're going to be persecuted. Begin with me in verse 16 of Matthew chapter 10. He says, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child, and his children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another, for assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? Therefore do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. Jesus says, first of all, you go out with nothing. And then he says, be aware, because as you go out, you're going to be persecuted. The first thing he points out is the idea that you're going to face times where you're going to be arrested. You're going to be hauled before counselors, and you're going to be hauled before courts. You're going to find yourself before governors and kings, and they're going to call you in, and they're going to address this with you and ask you to give an answer for why you're doing the things that you're doing. He says, don't worry about what you're going to say. I'll take care of that. It's going to be the Spirit of your Father who is speaking through you as you stand before them, so don't get all stressed out about the things that you're going to say, but realize that you're going to be arrested and you're going to face some very difficult times. But it goes beyond just imprisonment. He points out the fact that they would be scourged in their synagogues. That's the idea of physical harm. That's the idea that they are going to take beatings for the cause of Christ. That's the idea that as they go forth, they can expect this to happen. Jesus says it as plain as day. There is no question that his apostles we're going to face tremendous difficulty from a physical standpoint in regards to persecution. He says you're going to be hated by all. That's a strong statement. Here you are, and you're going forth with nothing. You're going to be persecuted. The bottom line in summing up that idea of persecution is you're going to be hated by all. He talks about this idea, if they've called the master Beelzebub, just think about what they're going to call his servants. Jesus let the apostles know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, as they went forth from this point, and as they went and began spreading the gospel of Christ, they were going to face tremendous physical difficulty in doing so. He didn't try to soft soap this issue. He didn't try to make it sound like, well, it might be bad. You know, every once in a while, somebody might get a little upset with you because of what you're saying. But on the whole, everybody's going to love you and think you're just wonderful. He said, they will hate you. They'll persecute you. You can just count on it. And he gives these instructions to his disciples right before they are going out from his presence. I think Jesus instructed them in this to prepare them. He let them know before they went what they were going to face. And as they left from his presence, and as they went out into all the world, it was obviously on their part with a commitment to following through on what they had told Jesus they would do. They knew the consequences. But they were not afraid. They were willing to trust in him and continue on. He goes on and he instructs them that they are to be men who fear God. Beginning in verse 27, we see as he continues this, he says, whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. Whatever you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. He says, finally, when you consider what you're about to face, No matter what you face, you speak the word. What you hear in the ear, you shout it from the rooftops. What you hear in the dark, you speak in the light. The idea is they went forth with God's word and the message of Jesus Christ and the gospel that he would be presenting through them. They were to do so with boldness. They were not to try to hide it. They were not to try to keep it to themselves. They were not, it doesn't seem, to try to be necessarily totally selective in regards to who was going to hear and who wasn't. Their job was to proclaim it and to do so in a very open and forthright fashion. The idea that I think Jesus presented to them is to realize on their part who is in control. God is in control. Now, you're going to face persecution. But what those men can do to you is really nothing compared to the control that God has. Men can harm the body, and they can beat you, and they can say ugly things about you, and they can do a lot of terrible physical things to you, but it's God. It's God who controls your spiritual destiny. It is God that you need to fear. He is the one who can condemn soul and body to hell. Man cannot do that to us. They have no power in that realm. And while they can make life very, very miserable from a physical standpoint, it is only God who is totally in control. And he reminds them of some characteristics about God. He said, he sees you. He says, think about the sparrows. He says, here are the sparrows, and not a one of them falls to the ground without God knowing it and it being according to his will. And in a very, very simple fashion, he says, you are of more value than the sparrows. Understatement of the year. God knows your needs. God knows the things that you are going to be needed as you go, that you'll need as you go forth. He's going to know about the persecution. He's going to know who did what to you. But you can be assured that he is the one that's in control. He is the one that you need to fear. He is the one who has the power to do with you for all of eternity what he so desires. Realize that you must fear God. The next thing he says to them is you need to be willing to confess Christ. Beginning in verse 32, he says, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. He who loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Jesus says what you need to do as you go forth is you need to confess Christ before men. He said you need to confess Christ before men no matter what the consequences. Because there are going to be some situations in which you confessing Christ is going to turn a man against his father, is going to turn a daughter against her mother and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. He said it's going to bring division. But that doesn't mean that you back away from confessing Christ. He says in whatever situation, you confess me. Because whoever confesses me before men, I will confess him before my Father who is in heaven. If you're standing there ready to deny me, then I will deny you before my Father who is in heaven. Those are strong words given by Jesus Christ to his apostles as he sent them forth. It's going to cause conflict, he said. But no matter what the conflict may be, you confess me before men. As you look at this idea, we look at the things that Jesus told them and we say, you know, what if you were given these instructions? I think about the apostles, and like I said at the very beginning, they had not been with Jesus really for some extended period of time at this point. This was still a fairly new relationship in many different ways. Now, they had seen a lot of amazing things, and very powerful things in regards to the miracles, but here he comes up to him and he says, you know, here you go. I'm sending you out. Don't take anything with you. You're going to be persecuted. It's going to be bad. I'm assuring you of that. You don't have to try to back away from that at all. It's going to be terrible at times. Fear God. Confess me. It's going to cause division, but confess me. What would you have done? You know, I think I would have probably sat there and thought of all of the reasons in the world why I ought to have a bag and why I ought to have an extra coat and why I ought to carry a little bit of food and maybe a tent. I'm not a big tent sleeper, as most of you know, but in this particular situation, that sounds pretty good, considering I might be having to shake the dust off my feet in the middle of the night running away from somebody who's trying to persecute me. But that wasn't the case. What these men did is they followed the instructions that Jesus gave them to a T. And they went. And they didn't take anything. And they preached. And they feared God. They confessed Jesus Christ in every situation they possibly could find themselves. They were persecuted. There's no doubt about that. But they followed these instructions. And I would also like to suggest to you that as we begin to look at what they did, and then we begin to look at the results of what they did, we see a tremendous thing transpiring. We go back and we follow through them through the course of this next period of time as they were with Christ, and we see some problems on their part and weakness perhaps and things like that, but then we begin to look as they begin to fulfill to an even greater extent the things that they were instructed here as we follow them through the book of Acts, and we watch as 3,000 are converted and then 5,000 are converted and then the number multiplies and they were persecuted and in many cases were forsaken by those that were closest to them, but they did what God instructed them to do. And you see what can happen with the power of God working through those men as they followed the simple instructions of Jesus Christ as he sent them forth. What would you do if you were given these instructions? I would suggest to you that each of us who have come to Jesus Christ have received the instructions. Jesus Christ has asked no less of us than what he asked of them. We can go to passage after passage after passage that teaches us that we need to be people who depend on God for physical sustenance in this life. He has promised us that the things that we need, we will have. When it comes to food and clothing, he'll give us what we need. We don't have to worry about that. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All of these things are going to be added to you. We don't have to worry about it. How well are we following through on that instruction? Personally, as I look at myself, and I think as I look at so many Christians that I know, we don't follow this instruction very well. In many cases, we find ourselves consumed with preparing for whatever may come from a physical standpoint. In many cases, perhaps, we find ourselves unwilling to place ourselves in the hands of God to provide for us as he said that he would. You wonder sometimes if we would just make a decision not based on the financial ramifications of what's going to happen, but rather make a decision based on whether it's what God would have us to do for the furtherance of his kingdom, what different decisions we might make from the ones that we've actually made. We've been instructed to depend on him. He's promised us that we'll be persecuted. Paul told Timothy that all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus are going to suffer persecution. We can count on it. Because if we're doing the other things that we're supposed to be doing, if we're fearing God, which we've also been instructed to do, realizing that he holds our eternal destiny in his hands, he is the one that we must fear. When it comes to eternity, man can do nothing to us of any lasting nature, but God can. He's instructed us in that. If we believe that and we're putting that into place within our lives, and if we're confessing Christ no matter what the situation may be, knowing that it's going to bring division, knowing that it may set me against those that I'm the very closest to in regards to physical relationships in this life, if I'm still confessing Him, no matter what, I can be assured that persecution will come. There's no doubt about it. Sometimes we manage to avoid it. But the way we avoid it is because we fail to fear God and we fail to confess Jesus Christ, which if we were following through on those instructions, the persecution would be there, I guarantee you. Jesus has promised us no less than what He promised the apostles. We've received the instructions. The question is, how are we following through? We look and we see the apostles as they followed through, and we see the things that happened and just the tremendous growth in response to their efforts. And we watch as 12 men went into all the world and preached the gospel to every creature under heaven, and they did it. Many of them working as they went. They found themselves doing exactly what Jesus said. You're going to have to provide for yourself. But there was no less focus on the cause of Christ. That was their main goal. That was the thing that they were focused on more than anything. How are we fulfilling our end of it in regards to the instructions that we've been given? And finally, I want to ask you, have you even received the apostles? I want you to go back and look at what is said in verses 40 through 42. Jesus said, "He who receives you receives me. He who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, surely I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward." And Jesus is talking about as the apostles would go into various cities and how they would be responded to and welcomed and so on and so forth. But the truth of the matter is, as we consider what the apostles were taking, which was the gospel of Jesus Christ, we receive that as well, or maybe we don't. And the question that we must ask ourselves is, how am I receiving the apostles? We can look and read the instructions given by Christ through them. We see the mind of God revealed through those 12 men and other writers who were inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so now it's up to us. Am I going to receive the message of the apostles, or am I going to reject it? Am I one who has welcomed them into my heart, or have I rejected the things that have been said? You look and you see it says, "He who receives you receives me." The converse is true. If you've rejected the message of the apostles, you've rejected Christ. And he goes on and he says, if you've rejected Christ, you've rejected God. You're not rejecting the one who is the messenger. You're rejecting the one who sent the message. You're looking in the face of God and saying, "I'm not interested in your word, and I'm not interested in what you would have me to be. I am rejecting the instructions that you have given me, the instructions that I need to be following." I would like to take you back and remind you again of verse 28. He says, "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." What God has promised us, if we will but follow Him, He has promised us that we'll be persecuted. He's promised us that He will give us the necessities of life. Maybe not luxuries or abundance, but He'll provide for us and we don't ever have to worry about that. But God has also promised us something greater. He has promised us that if we will endure to the end, if we will continue to seek Him, if we will focus on His kingdom and His kingdom alone, if we will endure the persecution and the hardship that may come as a result of our standing for Christ, then He will give us a home that is grander than anything we can begin to imagine. He will accept us into His presence. He will welcome us around His throne. He will give us a position there. But we must follow His instructions while we're here. The instructions are the same. Our response should be the same. If our response will be the same, then our eternal destiny will be the same. And so the challenge that lies before us as we sit here this morning is to realize that we have a higher calling. We have instructions that have come down from God that we must follow. Our failure to do so can lead to our eternal damnation. And so as we look as Jesus instructed the apostles, and then we begin to see those same instructions coming down to us, may we renew our dedication to going forth from here and doing what we need to be doing. May our focus be on the kingdom. May our focus be on the life that is after this life. May we not become so concerned with what people are going to think about me that I fail to see the beauty and the glory that lies beyond if I will but endure this short span of time. And for those who have not accepted the word of Christ, who have continued to reject the teaching of the apostles and the teaching of Jesus Christ, our call to you is to respond, not to us, but to God. To repent of your sins, to confess your faith in Jesus Christ, to be baptized, to come up a new creature, a child of God, one who's in a relationship with Him, a relationship that's like no other. And these are the instructions. And our short span of life here may not be as comfortable as we might wish for it to be. But it leads to something that is far better. Fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Respond to His call. Reap the rewards that He offers to those who are His. And why don't you respond this morning as we stand up and as we sing?